That was not the right thing to say, so I'm going to pray that you say all the right things at the time that occurs, because my head was getting bashed against the windshield the entire time all the way to Farmville, Virginia. But it was such a, it's a great memory to have. So we are in 1 Thessalonians. That's where we are. That's where we're going. That's what we're doing. And the topic of what we're starting with is the ripple effect of gospel transformation. The ripple effect of gospel transformation. Now, everybody here, if you have worked, you have received some form of evaluation. Oh, don't we love evaluations? They sit you down and they give you the, okay, here's what's going good, here's what's going bad, and here's what you need to improve on. At least it should go that way. I did roughly most of my working life in the good old United States Navy. So me and evaluations have met. Now, by the grace of God, I've always received a pretty good evaluation. We was on a 4-0 scale. Usually I was right around about the 3.3, 3.4 sailor, mostly because of my youth at that time and because of where I was going in my career, being a journalist in the Navy. But yes, everybody gets an evaluation sooner or later in life in something you are doing. Why? Because someone's going to have something to say about what you're doing and the effect it has on the company or the community you are serving. Thus is the story here in 1 Thessalonians 1. You're going to read here that there is a lot of good news. Now, who doesn't like good news about what they're doing? Especially as believers, we want to know that what we have done has not only benefited our church as a whole, but word has gotten out and inspired others to also come into the gospel of Christ. So that's what we're doing right now. So I'm going to go through and I'm going to read 1 Thessalonians 1, only 10 verses. Now, take the words in, because this is a really, really, this is really good news. I want you to really take it in and really listen to it. So we start with verse 1. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians and God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We always thank God for all of you, remembering you constantly in our prayers. We recall in the presence of our God and Father your work of faith, labor of love, and endurance of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing your election, brothers loved by God, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, in the Holy Spirit, and with much assurance. You know what kind of men we were among you for your benefit, and you became imitators of us and the Lord when, in spite of severe persecution, you welcomed the message with joy from the Holy Spirit. As a result, you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For the Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place that your faith in God has gone out. Therefore, we don't need to say anything, for they themselves report what kind of reception we had from you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And then finally, verse 10, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Let us pray. Now, Lord, we ask you to bless all the reading of your already blessed word, Father. We ask you to say what needs to be said at this time, do what needs to be done. Help us reveal some truths here in this letter. Help us make some astute observations, and may we learn something, things that we can apply and not just listen to. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Now, what are the elements in the ripple effect of gospel transformation? Now, that's a very fancy name. If my mother was here, she would say, that's a Baptist name right there. You know, but it's, you know, there is a ripple effect here in what's going on in this first chapter. So the first thing we want to look at here is what their faith looked like. How do you get a report like that? How do you get a name like that. And we see it's from their faith and their transformation from serving idols and really taking on the faith, really taking on their acceptance of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So the first thing we want to see is there is a faith here that produces change. There's a faith that produces change. The Thessalonians' faith had three products they produced. There is the work of faith, meaning everything and anything they did was because of their faith in God. The problem with many Christians today begins with their work of faith. In other words, what are you doing it for and who are you doing it for needs to be remembered and reinforced verbally in the community and should be seen physically in your actions because you're doing it to give God the glory and you're serving nothing more than that. If you're serving anything else, it's an idol. If it's not being done to serve the glorification of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you're serving an idol. There is no gray area. It's either black or white. Either you're doing it for this reason or you're doing it for the other reason. And it will be noticed and it will be heard. And then there is the labor of love we see here. Now, when we hear people say this is a labor of love, it means it's not all about what they're getting out of it. Paul is saying here they know that he knows he's doing it for the Lord and not personal gain. In other words, their intentions were real. Their authentic for God was good. And then there's the endurance of hope. No matter what happens, how we're received by the culture, no matter how that goes, we're going to stay firm in our faith in Jesus Christ. Say that one more time. No matter what happens, our endurance in our hope in Christ is going to remain firm. We live in a time where a lot of folks would prefer you bend the gospel to meet the needs of the culture and the culture not responding to the cross. That cannot be. The Bible is firm and solid on everything that it says and everything it does and everything that it tells us to do. So in order to truly understand what it is to stand firm, your hope has to endure. And a lot of people's hope has not endured and they have fallen to the wayside in this race we call life. No matter what happens, we're going to stand firm. And that's what we're facing as we discover many of our brothers and sisters did not have the proper conditioning to run the race. If that were so, they'd be here, wouldn't they not? If you want faith that produces change, it must include the work of faith in your lives daily. The labor of love that biblically is authentic and the endurance of hope in Jesus Christ that remains faithful to God's work, to his word, trust and hope in Christ, and the ability to persevere through the trials, the temptations, and the persecution. But not only did they have a faith that produced change, they had a faith in the source. Now that is truly important. Look at verse 4 real quick. I thought this was very, very good. He says, knowing your election, brothers loved by God. He is reminding them of who they are. He is reminding them that you've been called out by God for this very moment in time. Sometimes we got to remind our brothers and sisters out here who they are in a good way, by the way, in a good context, in an encouraging way. We see here it's being used in an encouraging context here. He wants to remind them of who they are and what their purpose is and who their identity is. And it's not with this world. It is with God through Christ. We see that's what we see in verse 4. What when you're telling people about the gospel of Christ, do they trust you as the source of the message? Or do they see a walking advertisement for hypocrisy and compromise? The Thessalonians trusted the Apostle Paul's sharing of the gospel with them, obviously, because to receive the power of the Holy Ghost, you got to accept Christ as Lord and Savior. And here's something else you need to realize in your delivering of the gospel to the world. Do they see your authentic faith in Jesus Christ? Look at the end of verse 5, which says, "You know what kind of men we were among you for your benefit." Now that's important. He's reminding them we didn't come so we could write a book on how y'all came to Christ and the whole process and the trials and tribulations of you leaving the idols and you listen to us and stuff and things. No. We came for your benefit. We came to share this gospel to save you. Otherwise, we'll go to another town. The people knew they were not there for any personal gain, but to present the gospel of Christ so that Christ could gain them. No hidden agenda. No corrupt narrative. They were here to present them a life-changing, life-saving gospel, and the people listened and gained their own personal relationship in Jesus Christ. Again, I just like how in verse 4, Paul begins that praise and letting them know they are set apart by God. Anytime you see in the Bible elect, that usually is referring to or attributing to some form of separation. And they are loved by God. This is positive reinforcement here that you're going to put in the right direction. In other words, keep going. You're moving in the right direction. You're doing what is necessary. You're doing exactly what we have presented to you. You've taken this on. You have personalized it. You are doing what the gospel has called for us to do. And I'm just going to say it one more time. As a reminder, in your trials and tribulations, in your journey, your labor of love, your work of faith, you are called out by God and you are brothers of God. And that's great. And finally, we see their faith was inspiring. How many people here today has ever been given such a great compliment that your faith is inspiring? Have you ever had anybody watch you go through something? They don't say nothing. They don't give anything to help you. But they're watching you. They're watching you go through it. And you're sitting there like, okay, well, they see I'm suffering here. Me and my wife are going through several adventures of this where we'll be going through something. Usually between me and contracts and negotiations will fail, and I got to wait another 2 weeks for another interview, whatever the case is. For those who don't know, I am a contract guy, so I go from gig to gig. I'm a process documentation analyst. I go into companies. I help them with their processes, do a little bit of tech writing, a little bit of business analysis. And then once I'm done, by that point, I'm ready to go. I go to the next thing, and sometimes we'll have a 1 or 2 week gap in between those gigs, and so people get the word and watching you, and they want to see how you operate. They want to see, well, what's he going to do now that the money's running a little slow, when his money is funny, as we say down south? What is he going to do now? They're watching you. But why are they watching you? Because they want to see if you're going to live out what you've been telling them in Sunday school and in Bible study. They want to see it in action. Because remember, you're dealing with non-believers. You're dealing with atheists. You're dealing with folks that are anti-God, anti-Christ. So yes, you can preach to them all day. You can talk to them all day. But until they see it in you and see you do it, they may never come to Christ. Because they have no inspiration there. All of our parents here know what I'm talking about. You know those kids was young. I know the war is going through this tour right now. The old, let me eat it first, and you watch me eat it, and you can see that it's good. Now you eat it. How many times has that been done? I did it with my sons. Didn't want to eat the food. Okay, let me show you the food is good. Then I'll take a bite and swallow it, and then they'll look at me, oh, okay, well, I guess it is good. And they'll eat it, and then they'll take it, they'll eat it and clean it and everything. We all go through these forms of times where sometimes we just want to see someone else do it. In boot camp, we had to jump off into the water. You wrap your arms, go up to the board, and you jump down to the water with your arms clenched like that. okay, now that's easier said than done. And so you're watching everybody else do it, and you're hoping they're giving a good example, because if they're not giving a good example, by the time you do it, well, you're terrified. Because you've seen the horrors in front of you, kind of like, oh my gosh, he just panicked right now. Oh, one other one just nearly drowned. No, I'm not doing this. And you, in your mind, you're thinking, no, I'm not doing this. But guess what, though? What is it like to get somebody in front of you that is cool as a cucumber, goes up there, wraps those arms, and jumps and says nothing? That's a different example. That's confidence. That's what you want. So goes the Christians. So goes the gospel. If you want people to understand the gospel, you better be a representation of that gospel if you want a faith that inspires. But because of their work, their labor of love, and endurance of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, we read in verse 2, because they received the word and trusted the deliverer of the word, we read that in verse 4 and 5, we read their Christ-like behavior has become an example to other believers. Now, to understand where Thessalonica was located, they are a port city in the area. So they've got comings and goings all the time. So this is a big deal. This is kind of a big deal. They became the rock that produced a ripple. Go find a mud puddle or pond or something and toss a rock into it, and you'll see small waves go out from the impact. We've all done it. We see our kids do it. Back in the day when I lived on a plot of land known as Dogwood Crest, 23 acres of awesomeness, as we would say now, we had an old spring down to the below the house, and we'd go down there and we would take rocks and we'd slam it into the spring, you know, just see what kind of water we could pull up, what kind of animal would come out of there, for that matter. And the waves would go out and it would cause all this change. The rock creates a situation in which one event, impact, stay with me, causes a series of other events to occur. The waves. When God throws us into situations where we can share the good news about Jesus Christ, we are creating impact, because we are introducing something new to the environment, like a rock to the water. And that's going to create a shaking of that environment that doesn't stay with us, but goes out from us. It's not just impacting where you threw the rock at. Everybody in the water knows something has changed in our environment. Now, that's going to either attract them or that's going to bring them to you. Now, what does that ripple look like for the Thessalonians? What was it, a small ripple or a large one? The Bible tells us in verse 8, three things. First, news of their faith went out beyond Macedonia and Achaia. Now, in this time, this would have spanned hundreds of miles. And it wasn't something that was generalized and watered down. These people knew the story of how they came to Christ, and the fact the story of their salvation was known by so many, that made the impact in the culture, and the words spread the word. Are your words spreading the word, or are your words spreading words? That's what you really got to look at here. Because you can say a lot and say nothing all at the same time. Just go on Facebook. Just go on Facebook and listen to some of those motivational guys. Say a lot with emotion, but say nothing at the same time. Listen to some music. You hear a great beat until you listen to the lyrics and you realize these guys aren't saying anything. He's literally saying the same thing over and over and over again and making millions for it. Why? Because his words have no context, has no substance, and does not affect the community. And to even dig deeper, you got a lot of churches and preachers like that. You got a lot of churches and preachers out there that are saying a lot of things that are emotionally charging and emotionally uplifting, so to speak, but at the end of the day, they're not saying anything. If what we don't say here does not point you to the cross, then you're still lost. Do you know that? If what we don't share with people does not lead them to the cross of Christ, for repentance and acceptance of Lord as their Lord and Savior, then we still haven't done anything. We haven't made any changes. How is it that so many claim to be evangelical, yet we had all sorts of flags running last month? How does that work? Because what we are saying may not be pointing people to the cross, but pointing them to other things. And we're hoping we're doing our job. There's only one job you are to do, and you find it in Matthew 28. You go disciple the nations. You baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then, there's more, teaching them also everything that Christ has taught us. This is what their ripple looked like. It wasn't watered down. These folks knew they came from idolatry. They knew the story. So by the time it gets to Paul, he's like, okay, well, there's not much left to say because everybody knows what's going on. They know your story, and that's a great thing. They faced severe persecution, yet they remained steadfast in their faith. Their endurance in the face of adversity served as an inspiration to believers in the neighboring regions. Word gets out. Their steadfastness reflected their hope in the return of Christ and the assurance of eternal life. They took it on. And when you take it on, or as we say in my house back home, when you get it, it changes everything. It changes everything about your faith in Jesus Christ. So, what do we do with this? That's the real question here. I like how Bruce does the so what portion. I like that because there is some tangible things we want to leave with you in these messages, especially this one as we're entering to it. What do we do with this? How do we get a faith that creates a great ripple of transformation for people in the gospel of Christ? What do we do with that? We develop a faith that can reshape the cultural conversation and point to Jesus. Now, I have not been on these slides here. I have to tell y'all that is something that I will definitely have to adjust to later on. But nonetheless, though, this verse 10 definitely focuses on what we're saying right here. We develop a faith that reshapes the cultural conversation and points people to Jesus. Not to an ideology, but to a faith. A lot of folks get so wrapped up in the religion. They get so, well, I'm not a religious person. I didn't ask if you was a religious person. That will be in response to your faith in Jesus Christ. I ask you, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Examine your faith and its impact in your life. And are you actively growing and transforming through your relationship with Jesus Christ? Because if you're not actively growing and transforming in your relationship with Christ, then what can you expect from someone you are talking to about their relationship in Jesus Christ? You must be doing it first before anybody else can. And then we develop a reflective love of Christ. This is what the Thessalonians had. And this is a goal that we should all have in our witness. When we come to Christ and when we finally get it, there should be a reflective love of Christ in us that should shine on everybody else. In a nutshell, you are a mirror. Pretty much when God is shining down on you, you should be reflecting that shine onto someone else or in your community or in your church. Someone should be seeing this reflection, this light shining off of you from the light that God has given you. Reflect on the depth of God's love for you and allow it to motivate your love for others. This is how that light would shine. Also, you look for ways to sacrificially love and support your fellow believers within your church community. And when you begin there and you're doing it there, then you go out to the secular community. Because now there is a habit of encouraging one another and not just coming on Sunday mornings, waving, shaking a few hands, and not seeing these people anymore this week. There should be an engaging, progressive relationship here in the church first, so that people, when they see us, when they know us, they will know, oh, well, do you know so-and-so that goes to your church? Yes, I do. Should always be yes. Anybody you don't know should be a visitor. That's just what it is. Extend that love beyond the walls. Reach out to those in need, sharing the God's love with the world. Notice that I said reach out to those in need, sharing God's love with the world. There's nothing wrong with helping people, but make sure they understand why you are helping them. Make sure they understand what you're doing this for, and it's not personal gain. Because if you're going to be a source that people can have faith in, you got to be, once again, pointing them to the cross of Christ. Because only Jesus Christ can save them. The most we're doing is making a very calm and loving introduction. And then stand firm and trust God. Prepare yourself for the potential challenges and hardships that may come with your faith. It doesn't end, it just gets started. If you have just been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, you are facing some turmoil times right now, because those forces of darkness do not like the fact that you've come to Christ. They don't like the fact. That's why the world spends more time disrespecting the Christian community than any other community in the world, because they don't like the fact that people are seeing the way, the truth, and the life. They do not like that. So what's going to happen? The first thing a cult does is mock the truth. You should expect it. You should expect them to mock you immediately, because that is to discredit you, but not just to discredit you, but the God that you serve. So if you are going to have a faith that's inspiring, if you want a faith that produces change, if you want a letter like this to come from God to you, like Paul did with the Thessalonians, which is a fantastic introduction of all the good things that have come, but it did not come from their doing aspect, it came from their believing aspect. Their belief produced tangible items of change. Okay? This is not because they did stuff. Don't get it twisted. Their faith comes from Christ. Because they believed, they did. Understand that. You don't get a report like this of people, everybody's heard about it, and now they're on board, they're getting to understand who Jesus is and all these things. It's not because of a doing aspect. They heard of their faith in Jesus and what they did in response to believing in Jesus. What did? They turned from idols. And idolatry back then during these times was big, was a big deal, and also big business. So we stand firm and trust God. We find strength in the hope of Christ's return and the promise of eternal life. We encourage and support fellow believers who may be going through difficult times, reminding them of the ultimate victory we have in Christ. If you can remind yourself that when you are facing the trials and you're under a spiritual attack, that Satan's spiritual attack is nothing more than a spoiler alert to he's going to lose, I'm going to win because I have Jesus on my side, then you're going to be fine. Those who panic when things go horribly wrong, who claim to have faith in Jesus Christ, have forgotten for that brief moment who they are. Remind them. Things go wrong all the time. It is human to be emotional. It is spiritual to look to God. You're going to get emotional. We're humans. That is our error. We're going to be. But the moment it happens, throw yourself back in the spirit. Say, wait a minute. I know what I'm supposed to do. I go over this every Sunday. I go over this on Wednesdays. I go over with my study group. I know what I'm supposed to do. Why am I not doing it? That's the question. Because Satan works on feelings. Everything now is about how I feel or how you feel. Well, don't judge them, because this is how they feel they are. This is how they feel they're supposed to be when Jesus focuses on faith in him. And we are led by Christ, not by our ticker. We're not led by that. This will fail you every time. You will make mistakes. You will make errors you should not have never made. But because you went on your feelings and not on your faith, you made mistakes. Because faith is not a feeling. Faith is an activity. Faith is an engagement of the Lord through prayer, through trusting Jesus Christ. This is how your faith in Christ causes that ripple. And you get the gospel transformation that I know everybody here wants to have. Everybody here wants to have that response. We got Courtney going overseas. I've been to her side of the world. You're going to have some work to do, plain and simple. Or maybe it's downtown. maybe downtown. You see something that needs going on down there. Everybody wants to get a good report, a good evaluation on what they're doing. And nothing may be said to you, but something is being said amongst the people that you are affecting. Why? Because they feel the wave from your impact in your gospel. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for giving us the opportunity to make an impact. We ask you, Lord, right now for someone who may have the zeal to be out there, but do not know where to start. May you give them their testimony of how they came about and how they were called out to be a part of the kingdom. Help them be encouraged and be inspired by their own story. Help them be encouraged to share the gospel and be confident, even when the world says don't, even when the world persecutes us for it, even when everybody around us may turn against us. We ask you, Lord, to keep us strong, keep us stern, and keep us in truth always. May we never compromise the truth. For if we do that, we are no different than the world. But you've called us out of the world because you said you are beyond this world. You have overcome the world. And in that we have hope and faith and knowing that when we leave here, we will be with you. And we trust in that, and we trust in your word always. These and all things we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. May God bless you. May heaven smile upon you, and may you have a fantastic week because the baby is still here. So we made it through the service. Y'all take care. God bless.